Hi, everybody. Gene Montristella here. And just a quick note before we jump into today's podcast. This past weekend, I had the chance to be at Pamela Bruner's Transformational Business Club event. Pamela is an awesome practitioner who I help out with her clients. One of the great things about the event was my sister was at it. My sister actually works now full-time for Pamela. And so it was a great opportunity to serve Pamela's clients and get 2 days with my sister, which was lots and lots of fun. We were instant messaging last week before heading down there, and I just asked my sister as I was packing if she needed some more pain relief miracle, and she said emphatically yes. Pain Relief Miracle is this all-natural spray that was developed by Jason Laird, a buddy of mine who I grew up with, who is an acupuncturist and a Chinese medicine practitioner. And it is used for skin ailments, for burns, for cuts, for bruises. It just does pain. It does a really amazing stuff. And because it is all natural, it is also useful on pets. And so the reason my sister wanted some more was she was using it on her dog, Addison. Addison is the sweetest thing in the world. And she's getting up in age, and so she's starting to have some physical issues. And recently, between two of her, I guess you'd call them fingers, I don't know what you call them on a dog, but her digits on one of her paws, there was this cyst that was really gross. And when she talked to her vet about it, her vet had talked about some antibiotic procedure that they could do, or they could go in and lance it. And it was something that would take close to 3 months, 12 weeks to heal. And my sister decided to take a pause, and she said, well, I'm going to try this other thing instead. And so she took the Pain Relief Miracle, and she just applied it to Addison a couple of times a day. And 3 weeks later, she was going back into the vet to have something else checked out, and the vet checked out the cyst, and the vet was shocked at how much progress she had made and how much it had healed. That normally what happens is as the cyst heals, it kind of turns into this elephantly-looking skin thing that's all black and gross and discharges whatever is stuck there out of the body. Instead, the cyst had gone down and was looking super healthy, and the vet knew that there was nothing else that she needed to do, just keep doing what she was doing. Pain Relief Miracle works in lots of powerful ways, and Jason has set up a special discount for my listeners and my readers. You can get 20% off your first purchase. Simply go to tappingqna.com/pain. If you happen to be listening to this in a mobile device, you can see in the show description a link that you can click on, tappingqna.com/pain for 20% off. I wouldn't share this with you unless I believed in it. I obviously have it in my medicine cabinet, and if you'd like more information on how you can do that as well, tappingqna.com/pain. Now enjoy today's show. This is Gene Montristelli, and welcome to the Tapping Q&A podcast, recorded live to tape from Williamsburg in Brooklyn. This is episode 168, originally aired April 29th, 2015. Hi, everyone. I hope this finds you well wherever you are and whatever time of day you're getting a chance to listen to this. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I just wanted to give you a heads up that over the course of the next couple of weeks, I am restructuring the way that I'm going to be working with people in a one-on-one fashion. Not only is this going to impact the time that I have available, but it's also going to impact the cost structure. So if you'd like to get a chance to work with me in a shorter term fashion, I'd really encourage you to head on over to workwithgene.com. That's G-E-N-E, workwithgene.com. If you'd like to sign up for some sessions, and then just keep an eye for the newsletter in the next couple of weeks, you'll see some updates on how I'm going to be working as I move forward so that I can best serve those who would like to use my services. When I was putting together a few weeks ago the list of topics that I wanted to cover on the podcast, one of the things I did was went poking back through the stats and the archives to see the things that had been read and listened to the most, just to get a sense of what you find most valuable. Just because I think it's important doesn't mean it's actually important. Your feedback is really important in that process. And one of the articles that I found referenced a lot was the article on EFT using tapping and is it okay for Christians to do that? And since most people don't go poking back in the archives and only read the most recent stuff or listen to the most recent stuff, I thought this was the perfect time to come back and revisit this topic. Now, before I begin, I want to make it really clear that I am not speaking for any particular denomination or any particular point of view. These are simply the questions that I ask and consider as I make the determination about whether or not I should be using something and whether or not EFT is something that I should be using in my daily life. If you don't know, since 1997, I have actually traveled the country with a guy I grew up with, the group called Apex Ministries. We combine juggling, sketch comedy, drama, and storytelling and do work inside of Catholic youth ministry. So wrestling with this question and having conversations about this is something that happens a lot. But I'm not speaking for anybody. I'm not what we would term in religious circles an ecclesial minister. I'm not commissioned by a denomination as I make these statements. These are just, again, my thoughts. So the first question that comes up when anything new comes along, particularly in Christian parlance, is this new thing evil? Is this dangerous? And as we look at EFT, and we look at tapping, and we look at thought field therapy, and all of the acupressure modalities, one of the things that we are seeing more and more through rigorous study and rigorous documentation is that the process that happens when we tune into an issue and tap is something that is mechanical. That on a physiological level, we can see the transformation that is happening inside of the body. And it is not something that requires belief of the individual for it to work. You don't have to believe an aspirin is going to work for the aspirin to help with your headache. And you don't have to believe tapping is going to work for tapping to work. It is a mechanical process. And one of the problems that we have in being able to embrace EFT and tapping as a mechanical process is because the way many people talk about EFT and the things they position EFT next to. EFT is a powerful tool that I got the chance to use in prisons, and people are using in veterans' hospitals, working with PTSD and doing this really amazing work. And then you go to a practitioner's website that they'll be talking about EFT, and there will be unicorns and dragonflies and rainbows on their website. And it's really hard to take a protocol seriously when it is pushed up against things that the culture at large don't take seriously. It would be as if we recognize the power and the value of vitamin C, and then all of a sudden people started grinding it up and putting it in their hair to take care of dandruff, and they started sprinkling it in their garden to make their vegetables grow better, and they started wearing it as earrings to ward off vampires. At a certain point, when you start to heap all of these other things on top of something that is useful, the more that happens, the harder it is for it to take it useful. And so in my experience, the biggest problem and the biggest objections that most Christian people have from accepting a protocol like this is the people who are using it and how they're talking about it. And they're talking about it in unscientific ways. And oftentimes, they're talking about it in ways that they don't even fully understand, that they're just repeating vocabulary that they've heard other people use, and they don't recognize how it is an unhelpful thing. So for myself, I don't see it as something as evil. I simply see it as a mechanical process. The second thing that dovetails onto that is, how do you respond to when folks are talking about we are all energy? And I think this is a perfect example of what I talked about in the last point, that people talk about things that they don't fully understand and use that as if it is a justification for what is going on. People are always talking about Einstein and we're all energy and therefore these energy modalities are useful, and that's something that proves that. And that's not the case. That's not the correlation and the connection that Einstein was using. If we look at Einstein's theory of relativity, that E equals mc squared, and he's saying that everything is energy, what he's saying is, if we took any piece of physical matter, we could transform it into energy, and it would be so much energy, it is unfathomable. So I'm right now, right in front of me, I have a coffee mug, which is a solid ceramic. If we took that solid ceramic and we transform that solid into energy, there would be so much energy, it would blow the state of Iowa off the map. That's how much energy is there. But that's a really hard process to do. So the statement that we are all energy is a statement about matter. It's not a statement about how these modalities that move energy around. And so it is true that everything that is matter can be converted into something that is energy, but anything that is an energy modality does not do it justice. Again, what's happening in our system is something that is happening on a mechanical level. It's not this, we are moving energy around. And I think a lot of people get themselves into trouble because they just repeat these things as if it is true, not being able to fully understand and scrutinize the things that they're saying. The third question I get a lot when we're thinking about this is, not just is tapping useful, but is tapping useful for us on our spiritual journey? And for me, the places that tapping has been useful in my life are the places in which I have been able to remove my fears, the places where I've been able to recognize my own worth and my own value. From my own experience, suffering exists because we perceive ourselves differently than God sees us. I am overwhelmed because I don't have enough time. God sees me as eternal. I feel bad because I am not good enough and I am not capable enough. God sees me as a prince in the kingdom. So in both of those circumstances, my emotional charge comes from my perception about myself. My feeling of overwhelmed is me looking at myself in this temporal space, in the moment I have here, misunderstanding the fact that I am this eternal, immortal soul. And my sense of not feeling good enough comes from this fact that I perceive myself as incomplete, and God sees me as the opposite. And so my suffering comes from the fact that I'm not accurately seeing what's going on. And so I found in my own journey, I've been able to use EFT to clear wounds, to clear limiting beliefs, to clear misinformation, so that I can see myself clearly as my faith teaches. And so it doesn't replace my spiritual practice. And it's not explicitly for me a spiritual practice, but it's a process of healing which allows me to navigate my own spiritual journey. So those are my thoughts on, is it okay for Christians to use EFT? The thing that's most important to recognize is, as you're making choices about what's useful in your life, is to turn to the people around you in your life who you have faith in, who you trust, who are helpful in your journey, and have conversations with them. Make sure that you're really well informed so that when you're having these conversations, everybody understands what's going on, but then making those choices that are most useful and most helpful. Again, I'm not speaking for anyone in particular. I'm not speaking for a denomination. I'm not saying what you should do. Those are simply the questions that I've considered in my journey and the answers I have come to along the way. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. How have you, in your own life, come to terms with the fact that there are people inside of lots of places who judge and evaluate EFT as something that is unuseful or maybe even something that is dangerous? How have you responded to that, and what are the questions you've asked? You can leave a note down in the comment section if you're listening to this on the website, or as always, you can just shoot me a note at gene@tappingqandA.com. I'm actually spending today, after recording this podcast, working on the next 4 or 5 months of podcasts, tracking down interviews. So if there's somebody you would like to hear interviewed on the podcast, please let me know. Or if there's a topic that you'd like to see covered, just drop me a note at gene@tappingqandA.com, or just click on the contact link up above. As always, you can check out the entire podcast archive at tappingqnapodcast.com. That's tappingqnapodcast.com. Make sure you're subscribed in iTunes. Leave us a review. Give a podcast a rating. It will help other people to find it. And if there's someone in your life who you know who could use this particular conversation, because maybe they've asked you these questions and you didn't know exactly how to answer, please pass this along. Don't spam your inbox. Don't send this to everybody in the world, but just forward along a link. It will be useful for everyone who listens. For the Tapping Q&A podcast, this is Gene Montristelli. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye. Tapping Q&A podcast is copyright 2015. Gene Montristelli, Tapping Q&A. All views expressed by guests on the Tapping Q&A podcast are that of the guests and not necessarily of Tapping Q&A and Gene Montristelli.